This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Welcome back to another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast, episode number 127. Tyler, the last 24 hours have been wild.
A roller coaster.
A roller coaster of emotions. I told you last night that I was in a dark place, as a lot of Yankee fans probably were thinking, after John Heyman sends out that Arson Judge, not Aaron Judge at first, looks like to be headed to the San Francisco Giants, but then he canceled the report, said he jumped the gun, and then another 12 hours go on, and then this morning I'm working out at the gym, and I'm not feeling good. I'm just saying, damn, I'm just depressed.
Yeah.
And then one of my buddies sends me a message of John Morosi saying that Aaron Judge signs with the New York Yankees.
Morosi always breaks the news, dude. He broke the DJ news too.
He was quiet. I think he wasn't tweeting anything for 6 hours. He wasn't sending out these little Heyman or Sherman tweets saying that, oh, this is what the temperature's like. Like, he was just staying cool, and everyone was saying it on Twitter, like, watch out for what he may say. And he broke the news this morning that Aaron Judge has accepted a 9-year, $360 million deal with the New York Yankees, making him the highest paid annual position player in baseball history. The Yankees are the first team to have three $300 million contracts on their team. So, bro, the last 24 hours as a Yankee fan, to go from that it looks likely, from what we saw on Twitter,
yeah, it was
from
terrifying.
John Heyman, that he was going to the San Francisco Giants, to now he is back in the Bronx, locked in for 9 years. Wow. Just like the craziest. And this is probably the biggest news that would happen. Like, you could argue this is one of the biggest free agent signings, like, ever, especially obviously in baseball. And Heyman just dropped the ball on it. And he sent Yankee fans into just I'm just going crazy right now.
He already had a bad relationship with Yankees fans too, dude. And this one just kind of solidifies it. Jumping the gun, to say the least, dude. And we were both skeptical after, because we were like, oh, okay, now, you know, maybe he heard something, but he really wasn't supposed to say it, but it'll come out in like 45 minutes, an hour, a couple hours, whatever it may be. And then, like you said, Rob, the longer that time kind of went on, we were like, huh, you know, if the Giants really offered him 360, and if he was really headed to the Giants, you know, why didn't he take that offer already? And the reason why he didn't take it, he didn't want to go to the Giants, dude. He didn't want to go to San Diego. San Diego reportedly offered him a 10-year, $400 million offer, dude. And he said, nah, I'm trying to go back to the BX and win a chip, because he's a loyal dude. And heck yeah, dude, I'm fired up. I know. I would like to say I'm actually proud of the way I handled myself during these things, because I usually am freaking out.
I pulled a U last night, dude. I was
level-headed for the most part. I was very scared after the Heyman tweet for like a good couple hours, but the later it got, I got a little more comfortable.
I was feeling confident, though, like throughout the offseason. I really didn't see, like, the coming off the season, I felt like this was an opportunity for the Yankees to give him the money he deserves, and like I wasn't that nervous. But then, like, the Time magazine thing came out in the morning.
Yep.
You saw what he said about 10 years from now, I see myself as a San Francisco Giant.
Well, he grew up a Giants fan, yeah.
But still, it was way too good of timing, especially with the winter meetings of what he wanted to decide on. I was like, God damn it, he's about to go. But what he said was,
I'm not fucking leaving. Yep. The show goes on. This is my home.
He's staying in the Bronx,
hell,
dude.
Yeah,
and that's
dude.
Just I was ecstatic, as a lot of other Yankee fans will. But I will say, dude, like, looking at social media and some of our comments, like, did you see this as well? Of there are a lot of people talking about, oh, you know, they were rationalizing as, we don't need Judge and we can go out and pay a bunch of people and pay a lot of contracts to these other guys, because that's what I was seeing. I don't know if you saw that.
If they were what? I'm sorry.
That they that the Yankees, like, they didn't really need Judge and they can go get all these other little pieces. And
I think people wanted to see a shakeup. And I said to you before we got on the pod, I'm like, hey, man, I'm obviously ecstatic that the Yankees signed Judge, because in no way were the Yankees getting better without signing Judge. They were getting worse regardless of how it happened. I said to you, though, I was like, hey, it would have been cool, interesting to see what they would have done. Like, I would have been inclined to see what happened, but that's a big if. And no matter what happened, I don't think it would have been I don't think it would have equated to signing Aaron Judge. I mean, just look at the whole second half of last year. Yeah, if you're talking about going out and signing Trey Turner to go play left field and signing Xander to go play short and signing, you know, Benny and Jock, then I guess you can make an argument, but that's not happening, dude. I mean, I think people that didn't want Judge and wanted other routes are in La La Land, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's exactly – like, people are talking about, oh, now it's time to shift focus to Correa. Never thought Carlos Correa – I think Carlos Correa hates the Yankees and he's not coming to be a part of the team.
Bro, and Cashman said in his interview he didn't mention shortstop at all.
Yeah, and then, too, you're telling me that – it's also a hypothetical of like it's fantasy land, as you said, of like, oh, we're going to get this guy. I'm sorry, no offense to this dude, but like, our realistic possibility was Brandon Nimmo would be the starting right fielder.
Yeah, literally.
And I'm sorry, that's not or like not good.
Or Conforto, and like, our outfield easily could have been Benny, Bader, Conforto. Like, something like that.
That's not good. And I get it. Judge came off not a good postseason. I understand. But the way that he has been for the past 5 years and how he has been the straw that stirs the drink with this Yankees team and has been the catalyst to what they have accomplished, I'm sorry. I don't see the clear roadmap of you're going to get this guy, and they're going to perform. Like, there's a variable then of saying, oh, well, Judge didn't perform in the postseason. Well, how do we know that any of these guys that we bring in are going to perform in New York? That's always a variable you're going to deal with, but we know that Aaron Judge has performed. And
yeah.
He just came off a 62 home run season and just was – unbelievable. And I just thought, like, this, it was really just fantasy land thinking, oh, this is, we're gonna get this guy, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. I just did not, like, temper your expectations, because if Judge leaves, this is what you're gonna have to deal with.
Like, were people that were saying that not around last year? Like, did you see the pool of talent we got to choose from last year? We chose IKF and Josh Donaldson. I mean, come on now. You can't really expect the Yankees aren't going out and buying everyone. This isn't 2009 where you're getting Burnett, Tex, and whatever. You know, we're not kind of going out here and changing the whole.
That team, too, that 2009 team, though, Tyler, already had an established foundation.
Yeah, and Judge is the foundation. That
you could easily say that this Yankees team, outside of what, Stanton, Rizzo, and Judge, that has no foundation.
They don't have an identity. Yeah, we talked about that.
They don't have it. Yeah.
We talked about that after they missed the playoffs, that the Yankees were one of the one teams in the league, it felt like, that didn't have an identity necessarily. So now you're kind of solidified for at least the next bunch of years in terms of dudes you're building around. Gerrit Cole, obviously, big money man. Stanton is your DH / sometimes left fielder. Until what, 2027, I think we got him till? Yep. Maybe 2028, maybe 2026. I could be blanking on those hard. But we got Stan for the night. So you're building around Cole, Stan, and Judge, dude. And then one of the kids, you would imagine. And DJ, because DJ's here for a while, too.
Yeah, so that whole conversation just pissed me off every time I see that across my feed. So, oh, just let him go, or, you know, listen on sports radio. Let this guy Judge go. He didn't perform. Like, relax, dude.
Yeah. Someone said that is considerably worse. Yeah, someone said that in our Twitter comments, too. He's like, I deleted it, I think, what I tweeted. But he said something along the lines of yeah, like, why we signed this guy? He sucks in the playoffs, had a 190 average or something. And I replied, I'm like, hey, his postseason numbers in the playoffs are, he has a 772 OPS. Like, yeah, he's not going to bat 1,000. He's not going to have a 1,000 OPS in the playoffs. But he's not bad. And you're looking at a 20-game sample size. I don't get it. I mean,
no, it is strange. But nonetheless, the details of the Judge deal, 9 years, 360, making, as I said, the highest paid annual position player in the history of baseball. And he's here for 9 more years, which is awesome. And this story, too, the way that it ended up going, right, Tyler? I'll do a little history, I guess, because it was thrown around a little bit that I saw online of how when Heyman falsely reported San Fran being where Judge was going to go, and then he pulled back on that report, it sounded a lot like back in the day, it was around the early 2000s, I believe, when Bernie Williams was about to sign a free agent deal with the Boston Red Sox, and the numbers were quite similar, Boston had him ahead, but then George stepped in at the last minute and was able to give Bernie what he wanted, and then obviously Bernie was able to continue his success with the Yankees. And it kind of, I tweeted it last night. I said, well, you know, maybe Hal can pull the rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, we don't know the exact.
I think this went detail, through hell. I really do.
But do you think that it had, so you think that it was a similar situation where even if it may have not been a correct report about the Giants, and we know what San Diego offered, that you think, okay, that was something that then the noise that came around last night then prompted him to say, all right, I'm just throwing this bag of money on the table like my dad did back in the day with Bernie.
I do think it was, because, I mean, we talked about this, Rob, and I threw it up on Twitter this morning. I think, and I know you think as well, at least I believe so, that the booze truly affected Hal Steinbrenner. And I think they affected the way he approached this offseason. I don't think they were comfortable giving him $360 million, but I think they were even more uncomfortable with the backlash that would have came if the winning offer was $380 or $360 and the Yankees were at $340 and they refused to go up $20 million or they refused to go the extra year. So I think this was above cash. I think these numbers and this AAV is something Cash wouldn't want to do. I doubt he loves the contract. Obviously, he would never say that. But personally, and this is just my skepticism or whatever, I truly think this went through Hal, and I think this was Hal's doing to kind of, you know, form some peace with the Yankees organization, with the Yankee fans.
Yeah.
He did good, dude. I'm glad he did it. If it was Hal, I'm glad it got done.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
$40 million is crazy, but
nah. Listen, what? This is the greatest gamble in sports history by Judge.
Yeah.
And he delivered on it. And the Yankees did, and that speaks a lot.
$143 million gamble that paid off.
Yeah. And that speaks. It does. You're right. It speaks to Hal, because obviously he's the one cutting the check. And we talked about it last podcast when we talked about Judge winning the MVP of what is it nut up, you know, put up or shut up, or nut up or shut up time. Like, that's what it is right now. And he did that. So Hal Steinbrenner, and there's still more work to do, which we'll get on later after we talk about Judge. But
I think these rumblings of San Fran last night, I texted it to you, but I heard someone on Twitter somewhere talking about it. How when we were obviously all in on Cole, it was like Cole to the Yankees, Yankees are the lead runner for Cole, yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, the day before, the Angels came in with this quote-unquote monster offer, and now Cole is considering going back home to California where he grew up, yada, yada, yada. And then, boom, Yankees signed him the next day. So I don't know what the Giants' offer was. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 360 or the exact same as the Yankees, but I do think there was some negotiation tactic in there to kind of make the Yanks just up their offer just a little bit before he said yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely see that. Also, too, I mentioned that Time magazine article, and it was scary to hear him talk about, you know, I wanted to marry my wife and then go 10 years down the road. But he also mentioned, which I posted a clip of on our Twitter, of Derek Jeter talking about how the Yankees disrespected him, or felt disrespected after disclosing the amount of money that was, you know, reported by, leaked out probably by Brian Cashman in the front office. And there were rumblings that was how Aaron Judge felt the same way, that he was upset that they took it public, and rather than it being rumblings, it came directly from Aaron Judge's mouth, and him saying, I was displeased with that. So when that article came out yesterday, that was
came
certainly
out at the perfect
something
time, dude.
certainly something that had us feeling more wary than in past weeks of damn. So, but
why does Cash have to do that, dude? Like, the numbers will get out no matter what.
Yeah.
Why can't he text Passan or text Heyman or text Morrissey or text Sweeney or text Curry and be like, hey, this is the number, but it didn't come from my mouth. You don't have to go in front of the...
It's a negotiation tactic,
but
bro.
You are being a dick when you do that. The numbers can come out, but they don't have to come from Cash's mouth. They can come from anyone else's mouth, and Judge probably wouldn't be upset.
Honestly, dude, and the way that I was feeling last night, I was like,
you're like, Judge hates Giants, Cashman.
The Giants are not in the same, they are not of the same talent level. But to me, what that said potentially before he signed this deal with the Yankees was, could he really not like the way that the front office is dealing with certain things, especially directly with him, and he sees the track record of, because it happened to Jeter, obviously. Also, it's wild because when I posted that clip, it's also much different because that was the last 3 years of Derek Jeter when he was like heading downwards, whereas Judge is now on his
incline,
peak ability.
He is peaking.
Because we're thinking, you know,
Jeter just didn't want to retire yet.
Yeah. And
he wanted
for them to do that, it's like, well, damn, and I agree with you. You say, you know, you didn't hear it from me, or don't even disclose the numbers, but it is a negotiation tactic. But just to see that come out yesterday was concerning, and it had us feeling a little bit, you know, not
we were
very
just
good
thinking
about
that, yeah,
what
we were
happening.
We were thinking the worst, and the media was helping us with that, and it just goes to show, Rob. I have to stop. I think I really at some point have to stop following all these baseball reporters, and I just have to follow Passan, Curry, Rosenthal, like those dudes.
No,
because
I told you, dude. I'm like, if Jack Curry says it, I'm in. Like, obviously Jeff Passan is very reliable, but like, Heyman, Sherman, and
even Nightingale at times, and I imagine they're all good dudes. Like, we're not knocking them, but it's like, Jesus Christ. Sometimes I feel like y'all are trying to be first way too many times and getting stuff wrong.
Well, I think the story was with Heyman that he said that he was just hearing rumblings like around the offices or around the hallways in the winter meetings. So, like, that's wild.
But we were also told for a week that Judge was going to be at the winter meetings, and then it was like, and then they told Cash that in the interview, and Cash was like, oh, like, we had no idea he was going to be at the winter meetings. And then it was like, holy shit, the Yankees didn't even know he was going to be at the winter meetings. Like, now we're screwed. And then it came out that he was never going to the freaking winter meetings, dude. It's like at the end of the day, we know nothing until it happens, and we're all just creating our own rumors.
Well, yeah, that's really how it feels, man. That's really how it feels. All right, last thing I wanted to discuss. A lot of Yankee fans and critics of the Yankees in general and the deal and the Judge will talk about the 9 years and the length of the contract. Don't even want to talk about the AAV because I think he's deserved it. We both agree that he played up to the standards and well exceeded them and deserves that money. And I think a lot of people lose in sight is like when they sign these contracts, the Yankees well know, and all these other teams and franchises know, like the back half of the years are not you're not gonna get.
Yeah,
that,
you're paying
unless, you
for
know,
5 years now.
Unless you're pleasantly surprised. I think the only player, at least on top of mind, that I could say has well exceeded the length of his contract would probably be like Max Scherzer with Washington of going that long. Like that's the only one that can come to top of mind because it's not normal. So you know this is going to – you know, we don't know if in 5-6 years Aaron Judge is going to end up having to play first base or doing any of this, but – you're signing up now for these next, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years for him to be that dude.
A top five hitter in baseball every year.
Yes, and that he can very well do that, and he can be a MVP candidate, and he can very well finish with a Hall of Fame career based on what he does in these years, and that's what we're signing up for, and me as a Yankee fan, I'm fully comfortable with doing that, and
exactly.
You are as well.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's like, oh, well, you know, you're going to get this on the back half of the contract. Yeah, that's what happens in sports. That's what happens with baseball contracts. Trey Turner just signed an 11-year deal. I think he's like 29, 28. Like, I'm sure the Phillies are really thinking, you know, we can't wait to have that 39-year-old shortstop. Like, no, that's not what they're thinking. They're thinking, this is our window. This is what they're asking for. They've played themselves into this contract. That's what they're going to get. So I have no problem with it. I think my number was, if they stayed at 8 years, I was like, maybe they give them 340, something around there. But obviously it worked out for – they gave them the extra year because that was like a rumored thing if they were willing to go that far. But I don't know, man. I'm just happy he's back in pinstripes because it would have been a dark – it would have been a dark month and a half – like a dark time on this pod unless they did some crazy moves.
Very dark, yeah. No, it would have been bad. And I think – you talk about the contract and the AAV, yada, yada, yada. I mean, to put it bluntly, Rob, that's what it costs to obtain a player of his caliber. I mean, regardless of who it is, I mean, pitchers, we know they have the higher AAV and shorter contracts as of late. But to get a good player, you're paying for him to be really good in his prime. And you're suffering a little bit down the road. And it's kind of the yin and the yang in terms of the contract. So it's just kind of how the sport has turned.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I guess. I mean, and to be honest, do you really think, I mean, I just looked it up. Brian Cashman is 55. Do you really think he's concerned about his age 64 year potentially still being the Yankees general manager in Aaron Judge's age 40 season? I don't think so.
We don't know what this Yankees team is going to look like.
Cash might not be around. Who knows what Hal will be? Hal's actually younger than Cashman, which I had no idea. Hal is 53. So you think, I mean, who knows if Hal will be around by then? I mean, I'm sure the Steinbrenner family will still be involved. But, you know, who knows? You think Cash cares? Cash needs to win now. We're in a win. The sport has turned into a win now thing. So.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
This wasn't the only deal that happened. Speaking of Brian Cashman had his contract extended through the 2026 season as general manager of the New York Yankees. So we knew it was happening, and it means another presidential term for him with the Yankees. Listen, and we knew it was going to happen. I will say, dude, the timing of it was like impeccable for the Yankees.
Yeah, it was classic Yankee PR bullshit.
Crazy. Like Trey Turner signs, all these dudes are signing, Verlander signs, these guys are all signing big deals. You're like, oh, is today going to be the day where Judge signs his deal? And it's like, the Yankees tweet out from the account, we have signed Brian Cashman to a 4-year deal. And you go, oh. And sometimes you're like, are they effing with us?
Yeah,
that's what we really feel like. They must
be screwing with us at this point.
Like, they have to be screwing with us. But we knew it was happening. I will say, I wish it happened a month ago so we could have just, like, ripped off the Band-Aid.
Yeah,
but,
like, the social media manager is just hitting that, like, tweet button. He's like, oh.
And he just knows what,
like,
the mentions are going to look like.
These replies are going to be terrible.
That's what, exactly. So Cashman's back, knew that was going to happen. And another deal happened, dude. Tommy Canley.
Tommy Tightpants, baby. I'm hyped. I'm very excited to see his changeup back in New York. And two, dude, I think this is something we forget. One of the most loved dudes in the clubhouse while he was a Yankee. So that's instantly, like, could care less almost what he does on the mound. I'm here for the clubhouse. I don't know what the word is. I'm here for him to bring, the shenanigans, him to bring the clubhouse together. Him, Wandy, Nestor, Rizzo, like, sign me up for that, dude. I'm very excited for Tommy. And I don't think he pitched a ton last year. I don't know if he had pitched the full year. I could be wrong.
So he pitched a total of 13 games. He had the injury. He did come back for the division series for the Dodgers. So he did pitch in that series. Only 13 games, 2.84 ERA, 12 2/3 innings pitched. You could kind of think about it's. I knew it was a serious. It was a serious arm injury. I did tell you this.
He had Tommy John, right?
Yeah. I don't mind the contract really. Like, we knew that they were going to have to pay a reliever at some point, and we'll see what other moves they do from here on out. And I'm like, they're gonna need some. They needed better high leverage dudes, and like, you think like Mike King's coming back, you get him back in the mix, you add in a guy like Canely. You know, I'm not. I know, like, Kenley Jansen just got an absolute bag from the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, the Sox have needed a closer, dude.
They need one, but like, I'm not paying that money. Like, we know, like, Aroldis Chapman.
If you
like,
if you look at it now, the bullpen is probably done. Honestly,
I think they'll maybe, like, if they end up doing a trade with Glaber or something, they may get a bullpen arm or something.
Yeah, but I do think the key dudes are there. I mean, you have Canely, you have Laza, you have King back, you have Efros next year, but King, Loaiza. I mean,
they are there.
Chapman,
I
Wandy.
Think they'll maybe make. I wouldn't be surprised if they make one more move, though.
Yeah, I think the key pieces are mostly there, though. But yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of pitching, we could always use more. Would love that. But nah, I'm excited for Tommy Canely, dude. Last year he faced, I just had it. Sorry. He faced 46 batters last year, Rob. Struck out 14 of them. Had a 151 ERA plus. Obviously super small sample size. But we remember Tommy Canely for pumping heat and dropping some dirty changeups and some tight pants. So I'm very excited for it. And it's just the reunion this team needed, dude. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Give the team a freaking identity.
Absolutely.
And Tommy had to have texted Judge when he signed. It was like, hey, so like, are you coming? Or like, what are we
Nestor
doing
at the Buck? Nestor at the Bucks game staring at him was the most hilarious thing ever.
They had to have known, like, all he was with all this, like, they had to have known, like, hey, yeah, I'm probably not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I felt like. I felt very confident on Monday night, and I was like, and then the stuff happened during the day yesterday, and I was like,
and then there was a rough Rizzo quote too. It was like, yeah, well, he deserves the most money he's gonna get, yada yada yada. I'm like, oh my god.
Yep, I saw that. All right, so from here on out, man, whenever, like, we're posting this pod today, but maybe there'll be another piece of news, so sorry if we get to it a little later, but from here on out, we're thinking we need a left fielder, too. We need a left fielder. So areas of need, I know Cashman spoke about it, about obviously they need a right fielder, so they shored that up. They need a left fielder. So guys on the market, you're thinking, you know, I don't, like, Brandon Nimmo is a client of Boris, so he's going to demand a lot of money, I think. Yeah. Even Conforto is also a Boris client, so he may demand even money even after not playing a single one last year. So I really think, like, they should bring back Benintendi and do the best that they can, and obviously Judge being back is huge for them bringing him back, because then he sees, you know, this is a good team. I've heard, like, there's a lot of teams in on Benintendi, so I don't know how likely it is and how
the,
like,
Japanese outfielder too. I've heard some things about.
So he's on the market. He may demand a little bit more, I think. Potentially.
Did Jock Peterson sign?
Yes, he's back with San Fran.
Damn it!
Mitch Haniger went to San Fran last night, which
I don't know. And then Heyman, he tweets that and then goes, this does not involve the Judge deal at all.
It's
anything.
Like, what do you know, John?
Yeah, you don't know
anything.
Shit.
So, like, other guys on the market, I know Rodon is really a potential thing for the Yankees. So that just meets up, you know, that just juices up their
if they did
their staff.
Rob, I would be so happy. I don't think it'll happen.
So like, I told you this, I don't think, like, I'm not, obviously, if they get Rodon, I think it's great. I did see some numbers concerning that were a little bit concerning to me. I think it was, like, of him and, like, I forget what the numbers were, but I'll have to, I know I'm blanking right now, but I did see something that had me, like, a little pause.
Yeah.
But I think, like, they would juice up their staff a lot, and that would put, I think right now that would obviously put Frankie Montas as your fifth starter, which would be wild thinking about that back at the trade deadline.
I mean, to me, acquiring Rodon is like acquiring another Garrett Cole at the minimum.
Yeah,
like he is an ace.
He's very good.
They kind of have to sign pitching, Rob, at least someone, I think, because Seve's a free agent after next year. If Seve has a good year, I still don't think they're paying him, dude. I don't think they're paying Seve.
Very true.
So, like, they might need to lock up someone. And I have no clue who's a free agent next year in terms of pitchers. But, yeah, they might need to lock someone
up. I think he can – like, DeGrom got – which was hilarious, by the way, that DeGrom went to the –
the Rangers.
Texas.
He just he's a Texas dude, I feel like.
Like, so he DeGrom demanded 5 for $185, I think he got, or was it five for one eighty?
I don't remember what it was.
So
honestly, maybe
I'm thinking Rodon. I'm thinking Rodon at 29. Like, I think, especially because he's a lot younger, like, he could demand money very similar to that. In my opinion, maybe less annual salary, but I think that his deal could be a sizable one, because, like, you could even argue at that time, like, with DeGrom's injuries, be like, I would rather have Carlos Rodon because he's on the field and he pitches, like, you know, he's going out there and giving you more starts.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Although looking back in his history, I'm well, 2019 he didn't pitch a lot, but and then 2020 was abbreviated. But I mean, like, knowing DeGrom, I think he will demand a pretty penny. So I think, like, obviously
you're talking
the rumors
at
are out
least
there.
100 you're talking $150 million contract.
Yeah, 100%. So,
like, Jameson Taillon just got $68 million for two or three years. I think. Cody Bellinger just got $17 million for sucking for 2 years.
Like, so, like,
legitimately.
I really, if we come back on this and we're talking about Rodon in a Yankee uniform, I'm not going to be mad. I also think it's them. I appreciate the point of what you said of, like, because of Seve next year, if they lock up another guy, that'll give them some insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a point that needs to be considered. But, like, I do think it's somewhat overkill of, like, what they don't really need. And I would, like, and then we have to think about, too, how are
trades are really happening, too. I think trades will happen.
I think
a kid will go.
I really hope they somehow find a way to get rid of either Hicks or Donaldson, preferably Donaldson, and then just figure out whatever the hell they want to do with Hicks next year of, like, I don't know, releasing him or whatever. I don't know.
Glaber or something, dude. And we haven't even spoke about – I mean, we've been pleading Brian Reynolds to come this way for some time now, and he's formally requested a trade.
Yeah, even if that is the option, if you do that in left field, I'm cool with that. Depending on, you know, the package size, but, you know, if that ends up happening, like, I'm cool with that. So there's a lot of different ways that they can go from here on out, dude. And
we just have to hope that they don't do nothing.
Like,
because that's an option that they do nothing.
I think now a grade of their, of, like, personal Yankee fandom, I would give their grade an A because of getting back Judge. But in realistic of where they're trying to go, like, right now for me, I think they're at a B getting Judge back and Rizzo.
Well, they needed to retain Judge and Rizzo. That was, like, a must. If not, if you didn't do that and you didn't upgrade at first, then you're getting an F because you lose Judge and you get worse at first base. I mean,
so it's a very good start. And plus, too, it's very nice to have it before winter or at the winter meetings, and we're not going into the new year wondering about Judge. Like, perfect. And now this is, like, we're in an ideal situation, dude. Like, this is what we talked about. Like, get it done now, and then there's still guys on the market that you can get under contract.
Yeah.
So it's good. I think they're in a good position.
They're definitely in a good spot. Again, I got to stress this, though. We have to hope that they don't do nothing. Because that is a possibility. I really do think it is. They might, even if it's, I don't know, maybe they get a wishy-washy left fielder and then just kind of call it day, say, hey, Peraza's starting at short, move Donaldson, dump some cash for a reliever, trade Glaber for a fourth arm. I don't know. So we got to hope they do something sizable again. But I don't know. I'd imagine in these talks that Judge had to speak with them about what they're doing to upgrade, because he made a comment right when free agency started, like, hey, I'm gonna get this done soon because I want whatever team I join to be able to go make, you know, moves to upgrade around me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I think we've covered all the bases, pun intended. If there's any more news this week, we'll be sure to hop on as soon as we can and talk about it. Immediately in this, I'm hoping they can secure a left fielder, and then it's going to be very interesting to see what they do regarding Donaldson, mainly. I don't even really Hicks is just like afterthought at this point. I don't even care.
Hicks,
like,
Hicks,
I just like figure
Hicks
out what
Hicks
to
is
do
dead
with.
In Yankee land, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just it's not working for him.
Yeah.
All right, positive episode, dude. This was awesome.
Hell
talk
yeah.
About Judge back episode 127. As always, be sure to subscribe, leave us a rate and review on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts. Be sure to go ahead, subscribe over to the YouTube. Follow us at 4TrainSavages on Instagram as well as TikTok. Follow us at 4Savages as well on Twitter. Really appreciate if you guys go engage there and go follow us. Aaron Judge is a Yankee. It's awesome. Glad to have him back. Thanks for listening to this episode. Let's see some more moves, and hopefully we get to talk about some more positive stuff in Yankee land. We'll catch you next time.